Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to Tuesday Night Bible Study. And you may see me look over here on occasion. I changed around the way that my desk was and everything, hopefully it's not too distracting. I'll mainly look at the camera, but on occasion, if I see something going wrong, I might look over there. Hopefully you can hear me all right and everything. So, welcome to Tuesday Night Bible Study. We'll go ahead and begin with our announcements. So, the Kentucky District Camp Meeting is June 14th to the 16th. And if I'm not mistaken, that is actually next week. And that'll be at Crown Plaza in Louisville, Kentucky. And then we got the CAC VBS Tuesday through Thursday. And that'll be on June 20th through the 22nd. And that will also be the week after next. Yes, the week after next. And it starts at 6:30 p.m. and it's nightly. And then also, if I'm not mistaken, if you go 2 days throughout that 3-day period on the Tuesday through the Thursday of that week, you can actually go to Mr. Getty's lock-in on that Friday, and that lock-in will be from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. And then we have the Section 3 Youth Rally for July, and that'll be at McVeigh UPC, and that'll be Friday, July 7th, and that'll be at 7:30 p.m. And then CAC's 26th anniversary service is going to be on July 16th, and that's going to be at 11 a.m., and there's a cookout following that service, and there's going to be guests, Harvest Apostolic Church singers, and then the guest speaker is going to be Michael Pullins. And I don't think we've made up our mind on whether or not we're going to be having service at PAC. We probably won't. I'm going to go ahead and say that, but we haven't necessarily set anything in stone. As Pastor said actually last week, if somebody wants us to do service rather than going over to CAC, then let us know, and we'll work something out. I believe that Pastor said that he wouldn't be able to make it because, you know, he's got CAC to take care of. And then we also have the prayer requests. It's not on my list, but Pastor actually is going to a wake service, to my knowledge, and I'm not sure who passed away or anything, but let's remember that family in prayer. I may not know, and you may not know, but the Lord knows, right? And so let's remember, if I'm not mistaken, our list is also probably over about 50 names, but I'll read off about the last 10 or so. So let's remember Willa Adams, Tilda Bryant, Ray Sturgill, Michael Justice, Thomas Briggs Sr., Sue Norman, Debbie Bryant, Diane Adkins, Doug Brewer, Philip Reif, and then Sarah Sawyers. It was good seeing Debbie at church, or Sister Debbie, sorry, at church on Sunday. And she... if I'm not mistaken, she said that it was a painful process and everything, but she's feeling a little bit better and everything. But she's not 100%. So let's keep praying on it, or praying for her. So let's go before the Lord in prayer with all of these names and everything. So Lord Jesus, God, we come before you, O Lord, and we ask, God, that you touch each and every person, God, who's on this list, God, that you touch them each and individually, O Lord, God, that you know what their needs are, O Lord. God, you know who needs a physical healing. You know who needs a mental healing. You know who needs just a touch in their heart, O Lord. You know who needs you, O Lord. And you know who is a faithful servant of you, O God. I ask, God, that you touch each and every person, God, that's on this list, God. And that you touch that family, God, who lost that family member, O Lord. God, and that you touch each and every one of their friends and their families, God. And if they don't have you, God, then you pull them in, O Lord. And God, that you give them comfort, O Lord. I praise you and I thank you, O Lord, in your holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So for Tuesday night Bible study, I actually had something on my mind. And by the way, every once in a while I have to fidget around this so I can actually read my notes and everything. So I hope that isn't too bothersome to everybody to take a look at. So I want to begin in John. John 20, verses 19 through 31 is where I want to begin. And it begins with, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said, or when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, and even so I send you. And when he hath said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." Verse 24 says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither my hand, thy hand, and thrust it into my side. But and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." So let's go before the Lord in prayer for this Tuesday night Bible study. So, Lord Jesus, God, we come before you, O Lord. God, I ask, God, that you anoint me, God, to give this Tuesday night Bible study, God. That you touch my tongue, God, to say the things that you want me to say, O Lord. God, that you guard it against the things that you don't want me to say, O Lord. God, that you touch each and every person's mind and ears and heart that's listening by way of the web, O Lord. God, that you let it be good ground unto this Tuesday night Bible study, God. That you touch our hearts and our minds, God, as we continue throughout this Bible study, God, and that you touch this, God, for all the people that's not going to listen on it on Tuesday or any other day, O Lord, or for today, O Lord. I praise you and I thank you, O Lord, in your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So what I want to focus on specifically, and I technically have a title, and it's a little bit long of a title for this Tuesday night Bible study. And it is, God isn't a one-trip God, and we shouldn't be a one-trip people. And what I want to focus on right here, because as I was going through this earlier today, something stood out to me. Something, I would honestly say, jumped out to me. And the thing that kind of jumped out to me, And we'll walk through this real quick. So Jesus, after raising from the dead, visited the disciples and talked to them. And that we can see in verses 19 to 23. And then they went and told Thomas about it, and he showed his doubt. And he said that unless he saw his hands and felt his side, that he wouldn't believe. And that we see in verses 24 and 25. And then in verse 26, it says that Jesus came back and talked to Thomas. Well, everybody was there, but it mentions how Jesus talked to Thomas right here. And so that's what actually stood out to me, that Jesus came in the first place and Thomas wasn't there. And everybody was going on about how they saw Jesus, and Thomas comes along and it's like, I don't believe you. And then, so Thomas showed his doubt, and then Jesus comes back 8 days later. And well, Thomas sees him that time. And so a lot of people want to focus on Thomas's doubt in this time of the I don't believe you. But we see a time right here that somebody who followed Christ, you know, who was a disciple of Jesus, who saw Jesus while he was alive, he had an issue with believing, and Jesus came back to help him out. You know, came back and was like, okay, Thomas, you know, here are my hands and here is my side. You know, do what you need to do, and you're going to believe because you've actually seen me. And so, you know, God sometimes comes back to us in our situation just because, not because he needs to do something necessarily, but because we need something from him. Because either, you know, I don't know how many times that God's told me something in some way, shape, or form. And what I mean by way, shape, or form is God doesn't necessarily have to speak in a verbal audio, you know, audio voice necessarily for him to speak. He can do things in a lot of different ways. So, you know, there's times that God directs or guides in certain ways. And I'm like, Lord, I don't necessarily know if that's necessarily your direction or something like that. You know, we can see that with Gideon and the fleece, right? So we see that Gideon laid out a fleece, and then he asked for signs. He asked for different things to kind of show him the way. Now, sometimes we get ahead of ourselves, and we get, well, in front of ourselves, and we get all confused into what God told us to do. And, you know, confusion is not of God. So we need to make sure that we try to get what God says correct the first time. Because sometimes we think we hear the wrong thing, or sometimes we're just not sure. Sometimes God comes back because we need protection from something that we're doing in that situation. You know, sometimes God tells us to do something in a situation, and we go out and we do it. And God, you know, how many times do you do something that might not actually warrant a risk, but you turn the situation into something that actually has a risk in it, right? So sometimes we mess up while doing the thing that God tells us to do, and he protects us from the danger. Sometimes God protects us in those situations that he tells us to do something. So, you know, or maybe we just need help in general. You know, God comes to us in a lot of different ways for a lot of different reasons. And we have that first experience, and we need God to make that extra trip to us so that we understand, or so that we have, you know, protection in a situation, or so that, you know, we don't get ahead of ourselves, or so that, you know, Gideon was, and I wasn't actually planning on using Gideon. He came to my mind while writing this down, but I wasn't planning on using him, so I don't have the verses in front of me right away. But what I'm going to tell you to do is read your Bible. It's a fascinating book. But with Gideon, you know, he heard, oh, mighty man of valor, and he was like, what? You can't be talking about me. You know, Gideon didn't necessarily see himself as who God saw him to be. And so he was thinking, I'm hiding from the enemy. I'm trying to do this in secret so the enemy doesn't take what I have. So what are you talking about? And so he needed an extra push. Sometimes we get in our situations and we need an extra push. You know, and I want to be clear about something. You know, in verse 29 it says, and I'll read verse 29. I actually flipped back. But in verse 29 it says, "And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, and thou hast believed, blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed." You know, there is a faith aspect in our situation that we need to get a hold of when we're going through the situation. And, you know, Gideon, how much faster do you think it would have been for him if he just heard it and he was like, "Okay, Lord," and then he just went out? But he had that faith aspect of, "Lord, are you talking about me? I don't necessarily know I'm hearing you right." How many times do we actually say that sometimes in our situations? So we need a faith. You know, we need faith, because without faith, we're lost on what God wants us to do. Now, while preparing this, there was a term that came to my mind. And I want to say, God doesn't require us to operate from a place of no knowledge or insight of Him in the situation. You know, God does not just tell us to do something without us knowing anything about Him. You know, and what I mean by that is, well, I'm going to pick up my Bible. You know, there's a whole bunch of knowledge about who God is in the Bible. You know, God creates a foundation of what we need to learn to know who He is. And God doesn't just ask us to do something out of nowhere without providing us context of who He is, right? We know that He's a loving God. We know that He's a God who protects His people. We know that He is the King of Kings. He is the only God. So He gives us a lot of different things about who He is in His Word. So He doesn't necessarily just ask us to do things without knowing who He is. You know, imagine a stranger walking up to you and asking you to do something. You're probably a little bit skeptical, right? Well, God doesn't ask you to do that, because He provides through His Word who He is. He provides an understanding that we sometimes need in our situations. And, you know, we don't necessarily go through our situations blindly, because we do know who God is. And so, in the case of Thomas, Thomas had information on who God was, who Jesus was. You know, he had the information of, well, being with Jesus. He knew what Jesus had done in the past. He had the information that Jesus, you know, was talking about the temple being destroyed and it being rebuilt in 3 days. Now, in hindsight, you know, we can tell what that meant. But in the moment, he might not have necessarily been thinking in the way that Jesus actually meant it. But he had plenty of information stating that whatever Jesus was doing, wherever Jesus went, he was going to come back at some point. He was going to do certain things. So he had an understanding, a foundation of who God was and what he was doing. And if I had to guess, and this is on me, I'm going to go ahead and say this. This part right here is on me. You know, if I was in Thomas's shoes, you know, it just makes the statement, and I'll read this. It makes this statement in the Bible. "Now the other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." That's what he said. Now, we don't necessarily see every single word in this conversation. So, in my thought right here, you know, I think Thomas might have had one of those moments of, "Guys, this isn't funny. You know, Jesus died. He got put in that tomb. This isn't funny, guys." You know, and I think that he had one of those moments. One of those moments of, "Guys, this isn't a joke." You know, because how many times do we hear somebody say something that we don't think's funny, and we say, "Guys, no, that's not a funny thing to say." And I have a feeling that that was Thomas in this situation. He came back, or he went to, because we don't necessarily know. It just says right here, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came, and the other disciples therefore said unto him. We don't know if maybe Thomas was out getting milk, right? Well, you know. But maybe he was out going grocery shopping, getting food for everybody. And he came back and imagine everybody looking around saying, Thomas, we saw Jesus. And he's probably looking at them, what are you talking about? And so that idea of what are you talking about? Because, you know, in this situation, I'm actually going to skip ahead in my notes a little bit. But in this situation, imagine if you were Thomas in that moment. You know, how heartbroken do you think you would have been? Now, first off, you know, if somebody said that, you'd probably be like, that's not a funny joke. But if everybody else was just like, no, we're serious, Thomas. You know, imagine what might have been running through Thomas's head. You know, if Jesus came, why didn't he come when I was there? You know, and that might have been bothering him in that situation. And we'll come back to that thought in a second. But Thomas had the knowledge of who Jesus was. Thomas had the knowledge of what Jesus could do. You know, I'm sure that he's seen a lot of people raised from the dead, right? He probably seen a lot of people that Jesus just said, come on forward, you know, stand up. He probably saw a lot of people in those situations, and Jesus was the one that was calling them forth. So he had knowledge of who Jesus was and the power that Jesus held. But in those situations, you know, he didn't necessarily know the full scale of what the situation held, right? You know, in hindsight, I already mentioned, you know, we know that Thomas knew about all the things that he probably needed to know about in order to have these moments of, yeah, no, that makes sense. But Thomas didn't have that moment. He had that moment of, you know, I don't believe you. And sometimes we get into situations. Sometimes we get into situations that don't look too good, right? And, you know, when we are in those situations, maybe we go and we talk to somebody, or maybe we go to church and we hear somebody preach. And we hear, you know, sometimes somebody's preaching right to you, and you hear it, and you carry it home with you, and you know exactly that what God can do in this situation. You know exactly what you need to do in this situation. And so you carry that forward, and maybe a day passes and nothing happens in your situation. You know, maybe 2 days pass and nothing happens in the situation. Maybe 3 days pass and nothing happens in the situation. Because sometimes, you know, sometimes we feel like our situation is hopeless after a couple days, right? And you know, I'm sure that everybody knows somebody that hit a point in their situation that said, but Lord, didn't you say? You know, doesn't your word say this? Or isn't this supposed to happen? And we get discouraged. You know, I'm sure Thomas was having that moment. I'm sure Thomas was having the, but Lord, why did you come and and show yourself to them, but not to me. You know, because, well, in that situation, imagine you were the only person left out. You know, and he either was out and he came back, or the other people ran to him and said, Thomas, Thomas, what a great thing. We just saw Jesus. And Thomas just like, Jesus, I don't believe you. You know, I know that if I was in Thomas's shoes, you know, I might say something like, that's not funny, guys. And then I would probably come around after they said, no, it's true. And then I would probably ask myself something along the lines of, you know, how bad did I mess up that Jesus didn't come to visit me too? That Jesus didn't come visit me. You know, because in this situation, you know, I'm sure that as I was writing this, I felt like it was for somebody, and I don't know who this is for, but, you know, maybe you aren't to your second visit yet. Maybe, you know, he's given you everything you need to get through the situation, but you haven't, you know, reached the point that he comes back to reassure you. You know, I have it written down right here. Anybody who's been in church for a good period of time has probably heard the phrase or said the phrase or thought the phrase. You know, why did the one Sunday I have to miss have to be a breakout service? You know, I don't miss many Sundays, and I can't tell you the last time I actually missed a Sunday. But sometimes it seems to feel that way, right? You know, when you're out for some reason, you know, whether you're sick or you're going through a situation, you know, sometimes you feel like you missed that visit. You know, now imagine that, I would say, times 100 for Thomas. You know, everybody's saying that he's came back and Thomas is the only one who hasn't seen him. At first, he may have doubted. But after reassuring them, he probably knew. But God didn't leave Thomas without that second visit. God didn't leave Thomas in the state of denying or in the state of doubt or in the state to which he was probably thinking, God, what did I do to stop you from visiting me? God didn't leave him in that situation. And God reassures us, and he doesn't leave us in those situations. You know, he just doesn't leave us hanging in our situation, and he doesn't just make one trip to us and tell us, oh, well, this is something that you're going to go through, and then just leave. You know, how sad would that be if God just only visit us once for every bad situation that we're in? Or even how sad would that be if God only visited us once for each good situation that we're in? You know, God doesn't tell us, oh, well, here's this, figure out the rest, have fun. You know, it reminds me of something. I don't remember who exactly was the prophet. But it reminds me of, honestly, I want to say it was Jeremiah. I could be wrong. I'm going to go ahead and say that. I'm going to tell this story. You can look up the story, read your Bible. It's a fascinating book. So find out the person on your own. It's kind of like, you know how Pastor does the daily iCast and he's got the trivia part. You can treat this as a trivia question. Find out who this is. So God talked to this prophet, and so God told the prophet that he was going, like the children of Israel, was going to be in captivity for a certain period of time under this person. And so, you know, the prophet stated all these things. And later on, there came a different prophet. And the prophet stated, God's going to deliver us. And so, you know, that prophet who got the original message from God saying, the children of Israel is going to live here for so many years and it's gonna happen, and I'm not going to deliver you out of these hands. And so that second prophet said all these great things. God's going to deliver us. It's going to be great. And so the first prophet was praising God and was going with it and was going good. And then he went away with this, you know, thinking, oh man. And then God goes back to the first prophet and said, that second prophet was lying. That's not what I said. You know, in this case, that first prophet already heard the truth, already heard what he needed to hear, already got through the situation. And the second thing that we hear sometimes sounds better than the first thing we hear, right? So we start to go with whatever sounds best rather than the thing that God actually told us. And sometimes God needs to come back and correct us. Sometimes God needs to come back and actually tell us. Sometimes He actually, you know, He needs to come back because sometimes we mess ourselves up by listening to the wrong people. Sometimes we take the best thing that we think sounds, well, best, and we abandon what God originally told us. And we need to remember what God told us throughout the situation. Because God reassures us. He fixes sometimes. Sometimes we make mistakes on what we hear, what we think, and God fixes those things. You know, He waited 8 days to go back to Thomas. You know, because in verse 26, let me double check. Verse 26, it says, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. He waited 8 days. Imagine how horrible that was for Thomas, thinking, all these people are either crazy, or they lied to me, or they're playing some joke on me, or I missed out on the presence of God. And I'll say this, that none of those options are good options. Missing out on the presence of God is not a good option. You know, all the people that you were hanging out with, you know, playing a practical joke on you is not a good option. All the people around you lying to you is not a good option. So he was probably in a state of, what's even going on? And he got discouraged in that moment. I can't necessarily say that anybody would probably not get discouraged. It doesn't necessarily say that he got discouraged exactly, but it says that he doubted. And 8 days of that doubt holding up within him, I would say that he's probably discouraged. And 8 days is a long time. You know, time for him to either go deeper down the rabbit hole or time for him to kind of just, you know, throw everything out. Like, what are you guys talking about? But he stayed with them. Well, I mean, we can see that he stayed with them because it says, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. So we know that Thomas was with them. And he makes time to get a hold of Thomas. He makes time to say, hey, Thomas, you know, here's my hands. Here's my side. Do what you need to do to understand and believe. And Thomas, well, he answered and said unto him, my Lord, my God. You know, I'm sure that those 8 days were just eating him up inside. How many times do we get in situations that we feel like none of the options are good options, and it just eats us up inside, and we're just waiting to hear from the Lord? Well, I want to go ahead and tell you, you know, that He's given us the knowledge to hold on. He's given us the knowledge to keep our faith in Him and to not give up. He also is not a one-trip God. He's not just somebody who comes and visits and tells you everything you need to know and then just leaves and never comes back. He's not that type of God. He's a God who cares about His people. You know, we need to get to know who God is and His nature. You know, He's an unchanging God. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And if we learn who God is, then we have the knowledge, and we have the knowledge to keep our faith alive in Him. Because we learn about what He did, and we know what He does today. You know, in this case, you know, if Thomas, You know, how many people being Thomas would be like, well, if God visited them, then he's going to come visit me. Might take some time, but hey, he's going to come visit me. He could do it for them, so he's going to do it for me. You know, we need to get a hold of our idea of knowing that God still does miracles. God still does things for us. God still protects us. God still keeps us. God has a plan and he protects us. We need to know that he is in our situation even when we don't see him in our situation. And we can't be a people who's satisfied with getting in his presence once in a situation. You know, well, I got a good word once in that situation I was going through. You know, we need to become a people who, if God isn't dropping things in front of, first off, I want to go ahead and say, I'm an oblivious person sometimes. I miss out on things that people say to me sometimes. So I'm sure that I miss out on things that God tries to tell me sometimes. You know, sometimes we're oblivious in our situation and we think that God has only spoken to us once when God has dropped things for us throughout the way. And even if, you know, we've only seen him act once, he's still working. Even if, you know, we've only heard from him in our situation once to our knowledge, well, what about us? Are we a one-trip people? Are we only going to make one trip to God? Are we only going to make one trip to maybe the altar? You know, are we only going to make one trip to seek after the face of God? In our situation, we need to make multiple trips to find God in our situation. We need to seek his face. We need to try to understand what God is doing in our situation. And we need to seek after him with all that we have. We can't be a one-trip people. We can't get in a situation and say, well, I prayed about it, but nothing happened. Well, I got a question. Have you seen people praying for 20 years and nothing happened? You know, every single time you need to seek after God, if that situation's still going on, then you still need to seek after God. You can't be a one-trip people. You can't be comfortable saying, oh, well, God will handle it. God probably will handle it. But you need to seek after the face of God. And you need to know, you know, I don't think that we need to know every single time that a situation that, you know, God will handle it comes up. But, you know, we can't get so comfortable by saying, oh, well, God will handle it, that we don't actually seek after him. We can't get so comfortable in our situation that we say, oh, well, God will handle it. Well, when was the last time you talked to God? When was the last time that you sought after God? When was the last time that you went after him and that you actually asked, you know, for him to speak in your situation? When was the last time that, you know, there's something that I'm going to say. When was the last time that you prayed for your situation yourself? You know, because sometimes we get so caught up in getting other people to pray for us that we lack on praying for ourselves in our situation. And I don't know why I said that. But we do need to pray for ourselves in our situations. And we need to band together with other people to pray for us in our situations. But we need to make sure that we get in the presence of God. And we need to make sure that we're not a one-trip people. You know, once in the presence, we're good in our situation. Because some situations are going to last a long time, right? Some situations we need to find and seek after God as many times as we possibly can. We can't be content with just getting into his presence every once in a while. We need to find him, I would say, every day. We need to find his presence and get into his presence every day. We can't be a one-trip people. And our God isn't a one-trip God. So, that's my Tuesday night Bible study. I hope it was a blessing to everybody. And we'll go ahead and pray. And then we'll be dismissed from Tuesday night Bible study. So, Lord Jesus, God, we come before you, O Lord God. And we ask, God, that you touch us, O Lord. God, that we're looking out for when you're coming, God. And when you're working in a situation and we don't see you, O Lord, that you keep our faith, God. That you let us know you to the point, God, that we don't waver, O Lord. God, that you touch our situations, God, as we're in them, O Lord. And God, I ask, God, that you give us a heart, God, to seek after you in our situations. No matter how hard it gets, God, or no matter what's going on, O Lord. I praise you and I thank you, O Lord, in your holy name. Touch each and every person who watch this by way of the web, O Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.